Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. Tesco Bank halted online payments on Monday after money was taken from 20,000 accounts. Samsung has explosive deals on washers. Oh, wait, sorry, I read that wrong. Samsung washers are exploding. Mifubuntu is dead. As it turns out, Nintendo NES Classic is basically a mini Linux computer with 30 ROMs. And KDE has a nice-looking mobile OS gearing up to replace Android on your smartphone. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? You need hosting. One of the things about a hosting account is you don't want to have limitations put on your website.
It's true.
How much hard drive space do you have? How many email accounts? How many domains can point to it? Well, we've got an amazing deal for you. For a very limited time, cat5.tv/dreamhost. For just $5 and a bit of change per month, you are going to get unlimited website hosting, unlimited email accounts on that hosting service. You are also going to receive a free domain name.
Ooh.
So your own .com.
Nice.
To put that amazing website that you've been working on
it's
on
true.
There. If you want to build a WordPress site, fine. Sign up. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Just don't put Panama Papers on it.
Just don't do it. But hey, it's a great deal, folks. Best deal you're going to find. $5 and change per month. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost.
I'm Sasha Dermatis, and here are the top stories for the week of November 9th, 2016. Tesco Bank's chief executive, Benny Higgins, said about 40,000 accounts saw suspicious transactions over the weekend, of which half had money taken. Tesco customers were still able to use their cards for cash withdrawals, chip and PIN payments, and bill payments. However, the bank blocked customers from making online payments using their debit cards, although transfers between accounts and to other people were still allowed. On Monday, the bank confirmed some of the accounts have been subject to online criminal activity, in some cases resulting in money being withdrawn fraudulently. Mr. Higgins also apologized for the worry and inconvenience that the customers have faced. The bank has more than 7 million customer accounts and 4,000 staff based in Edinburgh, Glasgow, and Newcastle. The one thing I have to say about this is, why would you stop certain things and still allow transfers between accounts and to other people's accounts?
Do you think that they figured out what the vulnerability was, or at least where the vulnerability lay?
You know what? That's true. They must have. Because I was thinking, oh, well, those criminals could just transfer to their own accounts. But they must have been doing something else.
Well, a good example would be if you encountered a company whose things kept exploding, you would no longer deal with that company, right?
You would think that. The company responsible for the infamous exploding Galaxy 7 Note is now recalling a whopping 2.8 million of its top-loading washing machines for, well, exploding. The decision to recall the products came after reports that 730 washer units had exploded, leading to 9 injuries. Elliot Kay, chairman of the U.S. Product Safety Commission, said on Friday, "We're talking about a very serious hazard of the top of the washing machines completely blowing off. The recall affects 34 different Samsung top-loading models sold from March 2011 to 2016. Samsung is offering consumers 3 options to help remedy the situation. The first, free in-home repair of the machine, which includes reinforcement of the washer's faulty top, along with a free 1-year extension of the manufacturer's warranty. The company is also providing consumers with the option to receive a rebate applied toward the purchase of a new washing machine, whether it's a Samsung unit or not. This will include free installation of the new washer and removal of the old one."
Wow.
Finally, consumers can receive a full refund if they purchased their washing machine within the past 30 days of the recall announcement.
30 days?
That...
Are you kidding me? oh, well, if you just bought our exploding washer, we'll replace it. But hey you're out of luck.
I mean, they are giving you three options. That's
I want to know where option number four is. The bomb suit.
You just want to dress up and do your laundry?
I want to get the bomb suit with the full, like, face shield thing and go in with my laundry and be like...
As much as I really want Samsung to get it together and get the best, like, I don't want Samsung to be really affected by their exploding devices because I like them as a company because they come up with some really cool things. I don't think anybody should go with option number one, just getting your exploding washing machine temporarily fixed for an extra 1 year warranty.
We'll just add a couple of screws here to hold it in when it explodes.
And if it doesn't, if it explodes 366 days from today, I'm sorry about your luck, buddy.
But Sasha, they're repairing it, though.
But I have never been so thankful to have a 10-year-old Kenmore as I am today. It may not be efficient, but it has never exploded on me.
Do you remember the Maytag commercials where the Maytag guy was just sitting there all bored? I feel like they should do a new Maytag commercial.
But for Samsung, he's in a bomb suit, for one thing. He's carrying a fire extinguisher. He's got an LG phone, definitely an LG phone, or even worse, a BlackBerry.
You know what's... I kind of chuckled when this came out about the exploding washing machines, because, like, here I have... Now, granted, it's an S7 Edge, but I've got my Samsung phone. I've got two Samsung tablets at home. I have a Samsung washer and
dryer. Do you have insurance? That's the question.
I have insurance through Samsung.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so
I hear that that's only good for 30 days.
Okay, is this a case of just the fact that they have so many things that, of course, some of their things will malfunction?
And do you think that's what it is? Or do you think that they're pushing innovation really, really fast? They're bringing out the best and coolest, like the exploding phone?
Yeah, I really wanted that phone. I haven't really been, like, lusting after a new washing machine, but I really wanted that phone.
Yeah.
I think it comes down to companies are driven to make a better product cheaper.
Oh, yeah.
So if they're looking for ways to cut costs, they're going to put an RFP out looking for somebody who's going to provide the cheapest possible parts. Mm-hmm. So you get a contract coming in that says, we will supply your batteries for your phones at 50 cents on the dollar compared to everybody else. You're like, well, this is perfect. I'm going to save money. Next thing you know, you're delivering hand grenades. Mm-hmm. It's the same deal with the washing machines. They're trying to save costs, and they're getting these parts that are just inferior. Yeah,
the technical term is consumer whorism.
Yeah.
We're voting when we shop.
Yeah, it's true. A consumer-based society. We need that... I feel like, wasn't it after 9/11, they said, just go out and go shopping.
Stimulate the economy.
Right? So that's what they need. They need to keep triggering you, and they want you to buy a new phone, even though your phone is only 2 years old. They want you to buy a new washing machine, because all of a sudden it will update your phone when you need new washer fluid. I don't know what happens. But
do you think a washing machine uses washer fluid?
Oh, you know what I like.
Are you a person that gets your headlight fluid topped up?
Oh my gosh.
What?
You don't get your headlight fluid topped up.
You better do that.
Don't do this to me, Jeff.
No. You better change the grapple grommets if you haven't done that.
Recalibrate it every once in a while.
I'm not talking to Jeff Weston any longer.
Yeah, we're moving on.
The Mythbuntu Linux OS that paired the Myth TV home theater PC software with an Ubuntu Linux base is being disbanded. The remaining Mythbuntu crew announced tonight it's been a long and fun ride from 7.10, but it's time to turn in our badge. Mythbuntu, as a separate distribution, will cease to exist. We will take the necessary steps to pull Mythbuntu-specific packages from the repositories unless someone steps up to take these packages over. Myth TV packages in the official repositories and the Mythbuntu PPA will continue to be available and updated at their current rate. Mythbuntu is ending since there are only two developers left from 10 before, and the effort is too overwhelming for the resources left. Those wanting Myth TV on Ubuntu can at least continue installing the Myth TV Ubuntu Debian packages atop a vanilla installation. Sad news anytime anything that's Linux is
yeah, for sure.
disbanded. I mean, it's when you go from 10 people down to 2 people, I understand it's overwhelming.
And people got to realize that a lot of these groups are volunteers, just like Category 5 TV are mm-hmm. volunteers. We're doing really, really well in Season 10. We've got a great crew. We've got you two that are here, you know, most
we
of the time.
We have you two? Bring up on them.
The two of you.
Oh, extreme letdown.
It's just
us. Oh, Jeff, that was a pun. You just got us banned in mainland China. They've just blocked us in the firewall. Oh, what the heck was my point?
That we are
volunteers.
Yes, and season 10's awesome.
And we've had times where we've gone through, you know, the valleys where there aren't a lot of volunteers, and I had to carry a lot of the show, and it got hard. It got difficult. And thankfully, I pressed on, and here we are in season 10. And I can see that it would be really, really tough to keep carrying these projects when people that are helping have dropped off and are not being replaced with new people.
Let's be clear, though. You still carry us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Robbie does, Robbie
you,
does
be
carry
and
us. Yeah. He would still be, yeah,
just before the show, I'm the guy who was wiring the Ethernet into your netbook. I'm like, Jeff, you could have done this.
I could have.
You could have done this.
I wasn't thinking.
Yeah, well, yeah. So I was running the cables and setting up the cameras and everything else. But
you did it so pro. I was very impressed.
It's a really good Ethernet cabling job.
That's right.
My heart does break for these two that are left because
sure.
I know how much, like, for
it's
example,
a labor of love.
This show, everybody who's here loves being here.
Yeah.
Right? And so you don't want to give something like that up. We're not giving this up, by the way. But you don't want to give something like that up. So those two people that were left that have to obviously just say goodbye due to the fact that it's overwhelmingly difficult to do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going away happy about this. They're
no
sad.
Doubt.
And
no
so
doubt.
Are we.
But here's one of the things about the open source community that I love. If you're in a project that comes to an end for whatever reason, you could pick up a new one.
Mm-hmm.
You can start
sure.
a new one.
If you find that niche. Like, there
right.
has to be that niche. Mythbuntu is a niche.
Absolutely it was. But things are in the tech world are changing so fast. I mean, you look at our show from a year ago, and already you could see an advancement in technology.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, imagine, so they take a break for a couple of months, whatever, regroup and go, what's the latest and greatest thing we can come up with now? It wouldn't surprise me if they're back
yeah, we'll
on
see.
Track.
Talented bunch of guys.
Exactly.
Or gals. I mean, who knows? But here's the thing that, you know, I think that, you know, that it was a great project. It's sad to see it cut off. And the fact that there are only two left, that's kind of the nail in the coffin right there. Because other people haven't stepped up. And I guess the call to action is, maybe you could step up. Maybe there are viewers out there that can help out with these kinds of, you know, look for projects that are dwindling because they don't have enough support from the community or from people that are able to help develop. Next week, we're going to be looking at NEMS, Nagios Enterprise Management Server. And, you know, that is for Raspberry Pi because Nagios Pi fell off because Ryan was unable to really keep up with the demand. And so NEMS was developed. And so, you know, maybe there are projects that you can pick up. Maybe somebody wants to pick up Myth. But the question that I have is how many people are using it still?
Mm-hmm.
Well, are there people in the community? Are there people who are watching this show who use Myth TV extensively and that are actually affected by this decision to shut it down? That's a curiosity that I have. I'm curious how many users are out there that are actually being affected by the shutdown of Mythbuntu.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Nintendo's NES Classic is, at its core, a Nintendo-approved NES emulator that comes with 30 ROMs. It feels very similar to the sort of thing people have been building for ages by running Linux on a Raspberry Pi, with the main difference from a conceptual standpoint being that the NES Classic is considerably less legally questionable. It turns out that the difference is pretty much in there. If you take apart an NES Classic, like GameSpot's Peter Brown did, you'll see that NES builds its retro emulators like...
You actually want to say RetroPie.
I don't want to say it so bad. Emulators a whole lot like the rest of us do. Inside the NES Classic is a quad-core Linux computer with 256 megabytes of RAM and 512 megabytes of flash memory for storage. In other words, it runs off a standard off-the-shelf circuit board with some custom software. It seems that the best way to build an emulator, whether you're messing around with a development board or a multi-billion dollar console producer, is just drop a bunch of ROMs into a custom version of Linux. And while the specs may seem low when compared to today's modern consoles and computers, it still provides more than enough power for emulating the finest 30 games the 1980s had to offer. Those hoping to crack apart the NES Classic and take advantage of its open software to add more games are out of luck, as the flash memory is soldered to the motherboard. So if you're looking to play more than Nintendo's 30 chosen games, RetroPie might still be a better option, which you can get at our store, which is cat5.tv/pie. Is that right?
Yeah.
But
go for it, folks.
Yeah. But while the NES Classic may be lacking in customizability, it does have one major advantage over a Raspberry Pi: style.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So it does, yeah, it does look
so cute. I would love to be able to do a case mod that looks that good.
It's super cute.
But what I want to know is, does that little hatch at the front open up and do you have to go and blow,
do you have to blow on the ROM chips?
I have the RetroPie, and yeah. I honestly say that we, like Dave and I, have so much fun with it, and we like invite the neighbors in to see it. Like, we just, like, we love it a lot.
Cool.
And I can't imagine being now constrained to just 30 games, right? Like, now I'm like, 30 games? I don't know. RetroPie has like 3,000 games. I don't know how many games, but like a lot of games.
30,000 ROMs.
That was awesome. Boy. See, oh, I need to get another Pi because what I was using my RetroPie for, I now have my Plex server on.
Oh, get another one, buddy. Cat5.tv/Pi, best place to get them.
I know. I do have to. I should. Jen the other day asked me what I want for Christmas, so I should just tell her I want another pie. But
get a bunch of them.
She's going to wrap up an actual pie.
Yeah.
She will.
That's right. I will get a box with a Raspberry Pi, and they'd be like, where'd I plug in the controller?
Don't correct her now, because the best thing to have happen is that she actually gives you a Raspberry Pi that you can eat. But you tell her in that moment, I actually meant a Raspberry Pi microcomputer. So then that way the guilt sets in, and as you are eating the Raspberry Pi, she's on cat5.tv/pi ordering for you a Raspberry Pi kit.
See, this is a
online petitions work best. Remember everybody when I said like 2 years ago, Dave, I want a laptop.
Do you remember that?
And I have a laptop.
It's on the set tonight.
Yeah. What you just mentioned there about the pie is a flashback to when Jen and I were dating.
Oh?
So this is... Okay.
This is the manipulation that you used?
No, this is going to be the one... This is going to be one of those facepalm moments where you're like, really? So our relationship was getting serious, and she talked about getting a ring.
Mm.
So I went out... being the smart butt that I am, and I purchased the horror movie The Ring. But I removed the DVD and placed The Ring inside the box.
Oh, nice.
So I wrapped it up, and so for Valentine's Day, I gave her The Ring. And she's like...
That's how he proposed, folks.
No, it wasn't it was a promise ring. But still, she's like, okay. What is this?
It's like, it wasn't even the real thing.
Oh, do you know the promise? Oh, Jen, I am so sorry.
I may have had a few screws loose when we had his
younger. Oh, my gosh. He's like, okay, hun, open it.
Well,
and she's like, oh, he's like, oh, no, it's not the real ring. It's just, it's not the movie. It's not a wedding ring or a proposal ring. It's not an engagement ring. It's just a promise. I promise that I will one day buy you a ring.
I promise that at one point I'll get smarter and I will actually propose to you.
Oh, no. We talked about the promise ring. We knew it was all good. So
this was worked out in advance.
She was expecting it, just not the horror movie.
Right.
So when she opens it up and gets this horror movie, she's like, what is this? I'm like, you said you wanted the ring. She's like, a ring.
Oh, shoot. Oh, right.
So she puts it down and you hear the ring inside kind of move around. I'm like, oh, no, I think the DVD's broken. And then she opens up and saw the ring, and the world was saved, and, you know, all the kind of good, fun, loving stuff. But, yeah, so there's my digress.
Such a romantic.
So folks. You talk about the Raspberry Pi, and I'm just picturing her doing this as revenge.
Yeah.
And I fully 100% support you, Jen. Please, just buy him a pie. Yeah. And later on, not today, I want to hear the actual engagement story because...
Oh, the engagement story is way
important.
Better.
Oh, yeah. I think it's important that we also note before we move on, Sasha, that Category 5 does not necessarily endorse any of the ideas that have been expressed here today. So, gentlemen, if you are thinking of ways to, you know, advance that relationship, I'm thinking, you know, maybe we need to hear from the wife.
Yeah.
Just maybe don't listen to this guy.
I will say, just because I am fairly recently engaged in that, actually, it's been a long time since I've got engaged, but I'm not yet married. kind of complicated.
That's a whole other story.
But Dave bought the ring 3 months before he proposed, and it was the worst 3 months of my life because I thought he was breaking up with me because he didn't want to ruin the surprise. So he couldn't get too excited near me. So usually, like, he's so emotive usually, but he was like, all of a sudden, like, the quietest, like, he was just like a statue of a man every time I talked to him.
He's just sitting there all the time going...
See, I was the opposite. When I bought her engagement ring, I realized we're completely off in left field. I feel like I'm a squirrel.
Yeah, what was the story about?
But when I bought the engagement ring, I couldn't contain myself. I contacted her dad that day to say, hey, let's go out for breakfast tomorrow. Went out for breakfast, and I believe it was that night I proposed because I was like, I've got the ring. I got
to
do it.
That's the way to do it, or else it's bad energy. Okay.
Okay, but just so you know, we digressed from Nintendo to Raspberry Pi to horror movies to wedding rings to long engagements.
Yes.
And here we are back at the news.
I am getting married September 9th, 2017. So I will be missing two shows.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you for the advance notice.
Yeah, we appreciate the advance notice.
Okay. While Ubuntu phone continues to stew, bereft of new devices and with little developer interest, other efforts to create a fully fledged Linux smartphone are picking up pace. Chief among them is KDE Plasma Mobile. KDE itself needs a little introduction. It's one of the most popular Linux desktop environments around and recently celebrated its 20th birthday. Plasma is the name of its graphical user interface, GUI, and you'll probably know it best in its desktop guise. But KDE Community has its sights set beyond the desktop. It has ambitions to run a much broader set of devices, including tablets and, more interestingly, smartphones. The aim is to create a truly customizable UI built with modularity from the ground up. Plasma Mobile also touts a heavy emphasis on user privacy. Plasma Mobile aims to be a hackable, flashable ROM for existing popular Android devices or Android phones. It can also dual boot with Android and is able to run on both ARM and Intel-based devices. Plasma Mobile currently supports the Nexus 5 and the OnePlus One, as well as Intel-based devices. You'll need to be prepared for many limitations as Plasma Mobile is under development and not aimed for end users. But the device can do the essentials of a dumb phone like make calls, send texts, snap photos, and a small set of apps are available. For more information, head over to the Plasma Mobile website, which is plasma/mobile.org. I feel like that's
Plasma
all.
Dash.
Oh, sorry.
Mobile.
Plasma-mobile.org. I think that I could actually use something like that. I need a dumbed down phone so I do less
simplify
things.
My life.
Please. thank you for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Dermatis.